CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody.
How dare you?
How dare you? Yes, it's freezing. Oh my God, it's cold. I forgot what winter was like. I mean, I have such a short and useless memory that it takes me like half a season, and I've forgotten what cold feels like. I mean, you plunge me into December, and I'm like, I can handle June, July. That's fine. June and July come around, it's like a vicious, evil witch has descended on the village and started terrorizing the children in my head.
Oh, you just can't get used to it. And I'd far rather be called that idiot who gets surprised by it every single year. But every single year, man, it's tough.
Yeah, there is. I like going to sleep in the cold. I hate waking up in the cold. Ugh. Anyway.
You know, when you get stuck in
there. Do me a favor, just turn the mic gain and your microphone down like 2-3 points.
Just a bit.
Yeah, there we go. Because you were
sounding better.
Yeah, it was just distorting a little bit, but it's fine now. Yeah. How's it?
You know when you get stuck in a weird YouTube rabbit hole?
Oh, yeah. That's what I did last night. Did you do that too?
Oh, yeah. A couple of days ago. And I ended up watching this short documentary. It was like less than 15 minutes around people in Antarctica quarantined there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there must be no shittier place.
Oh my God. Can you imagine being cold everywhere to the bone? I'll tell you what, I've got this app which tells me the weather all over the place, and I keep it just to remind myself how much worse or better life could be, right?
Oh.
So if I look at Antarctica's temperature right now, are you ready for this?
Mm.
Because they don't even bother to give you minimums and maximums there. It's like, it's the minimum today. All right, it's today is Thursday, -41.
Oh,
but the actual temperature because of wind chill is 49, -49.
Oh my goodness,
Pinky, can you imagine how every part of your body and your insides feel? I mean, you grew up in the Free State. That place can get cold as hell.
And you know what, Gareth? I mean, people have been complaining about the weather this week, and I've just been like, it's really not that cold.
No, if you've lived in the Free State. So I've often said this, and maybe it's boring, but there may be new people who've joined us in the last 6 to 8 weeks because we've seen this doubling in our audience, which I keep talking about. I'm very proud of that because it's one of the few things about lockdown that's made me feel like we're doing something and achieving something.
Yeah.
But I was in the Free State once for, of all things, a funeral. And we were standing, oh my God, we were standing outside. There was no way in the world that I could warm myself up. I was trying to find a little bit of sun because it was a clear day. There wasn't cloud. But because it was a clear day, the cloud was not holding the heat in. And it came, it just came from every angle. And you know when your bones actually feel cold?
Oh.
You can't, you rub your legs, you go, and nothing happens. It doesn't make any difference. That's how I think it must be in Antarctica. The Free State's probably the closest to that. I've been in the snow. Mbulelo, you've been in the snow. Promise you the Free State's colder than that when it's cold.
You don't need to tell me, Gareth. I went on a rugby tour. And we went on the train. And listen, the Natal Midlands get pretty grim in winter, right?
Yeah.
You have no idea. I've never been this cold. And I've been in Canadian and Russian winter.
Yes, oh. Russian winter is apparently just something else as well.
I don't mean to sound like we're hopping on this same topic over and over again, but this is why I'm so confused when you guys have this visceral reaction to people sleeping with socks on.
It's just revolting. It's bad. It is.
How else do you get all nice and warmed up?
No. Just put an extra blanket on your bed.
Or
wear pants if you need to wear pants, but socks.
What?
Disgusting.
Let me just think about how I slept yesterday.
Do you know what Russians? Hang on, Sia. Do you know what Russians do to warm up in the winter?
Drink vodka.
But they light it on the way in.
Wait, how?
No, I'm kidding.
It's a Molotov.
I was about to say.
It's a Molotov joke.
Light where?
Very good.
No, I had my PJs on. I had socks on. I had two blankets, my duvet, and an electric blanket.
Yeah, but that's because you're from Durban, and we're talking about, like, autumn, and you're behaving like that.
You know what? I'm giving up on this fight. Never mind.
Technically, we're only in winter properly from next week, Monday. Technically.
So let me tell you another savage cold. I spent a great deal of my childhood in the holidays going to Finland.
Oof. In a man.
That's horrible. That's also just an ugly place to go.
Yeah. Mm. Brutal.
All right, so Pinky is, you've just moved into a new place, right?
Yes, I have.
Okay, Pinky moved into a new place. She's decorated it now. It's all very exciting, but problem is she's bought a white carpet for her house, and her sister's coming over this Friday.
Oh, goodness.
She is wondering if her sister's going to have a problem with leaving her shoes at the door because she doesn't want to ruin her new white carpet, Pinky.
Mm. Is it a bad thing to ask people to take off shoes right at the door?
Well, they call this a middle-class problem, but I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
So I'm just worried. I mean, she can be a bit of a problem, you know?
Well, and I don't think she has any right to complain. If she wants to come into your house, what's the difference if she takes her shoes off?
Yeah, exactly. Well, the shoes are dirty. They come from outside.
Yeah.
So so I feel like it's going to leave the dirt right at the door.
I get it, but I also kind of find it to be an inconvenience.
Well, then she mustn't come.
Okay, but you've got the white carpet, but do you have ice-cold tile floors everywhere else?
Yes, I do.
I see.
Yeah.
Problem.
So should I get, like, slippers? Slippers for her?
Yeah.
Put the bread at the door and be like, welcome.
This is such a clever ploy because now you say to her, I bought you these slippers, but you buy those cheap ones. You know the ones that I'm talking about, huh?
Uh-huh.
Those pantoffels, those ones that, yes. that old grandmas wear.
Yes.
But you buy the nicest ones you can find at the cheapest price, and then you have them ready in her size at the door, and you say, hey, and you say, I bought you a present. And don't walk on my carpet, bitch.
See, didn't you ever, like, steal a pair from a hotel?
Yeah,
no.
Those are never good, Sia. They're always those ones that just cover the top of your foot with a little band.
Yes. That would have been the time. No, you know, like there's some people, I was thinking of this couple that I know who had a baby a while ago, and rightfully so. They're very, like, pedantic, and they want the best for their child. And this is even pre-corona. And they used to carry a sanitizer.
Again,
but like, you know, no, before you hold the baby, here you go. No, I was like,
no, this is very bad for the baby.
But I just thought, not worth the admin. So Pinky, I love your place, but then if you bring so many rules for me, then I'm over it. Sia, I love your baby.
Sia, it's not so many rules. It's one thing.
It's literally just one rule.
I'm asking you one thing. Like, I have two rules in my house. And I stick to these, and I've never, ever had to break them. And I apologize in advance if this is going to be offensive to people, but my rules are you do not come into my house if you are fat, because fat people break things. They don't know how fat they are sometimes when they knock shit over. It's happened before, and I will not let it happen in this house. So since I moved into this house, no fat people, and the other rule is no communists, because communists believe that nice things should not exist. They believe that everybody should just live in squalor and misery, roll around in the ordure like pigs. And I like my house. I've made my house nice for me. I don't give two shits what communists want to live like. And if they want to live in squalor and misery, and they want to be cold in the winter and too hot in the summer, and they don't want beautiful stuff adorning their place that they live, then they can stay away from me. Because all that communists do when they come into your house is they find reasons to resent and hate you because maybe things are nicer than in their shitty little hovel.
Have you ever turned people away?
One at a time. What did you mean? Say that again.
How many communists have you had in your house?
No, I know this from experience with talking to communists. I don't have to invite them to my house. I don't. I say in any invitation, ask any of my friends who have been to my house. The invitation always says, love to see you, date, time, you know, bring this or don't worry to bring anything. And then no fat people, no communists as usual, etc.
I've been wondering.
It's in this fine print, every invitation I issue.
I've been wondering why I haven't been invited for tea, but now I know.
Well, you're not a communist, but you do tend left. Guys, I'm hearing myself through someone's someone's feedback loop is spilling a bit of me out. So there we go. That's better. Who was that? Who was that? We must punish them. Who was that?
Pinky just
me.
Oh, no.
Pinky, we're going to have to burn you at the stake for fuel.
No, don't worry. I'll just burn myself.
I was hearing some like bleed of my sound. Even that, just the terminology is like there's a bleeding sound somewhere.
Sounds very fancy.
Dangerous. Okay, right. Let's get into this. First of all, I have to watch, apparently, The Last Dance, this one with Michael Jordan. Everybody's telling me that this is the best show that you've got. Ben said to me, this is absolutely the best thing he's seen on television. You've seen it, Sia.
You know, maybe by the time I get into it some more, but I see what all the fuss is about. And even I, as a person who isn't the biggest, who am I kidding? I was about to lie and say the biggest sports fan. I'm not a sports fan at all.
Yeah.
I am a fan of when sports intersects with popular culture. And I think that's what the series does. It really takes you in the thick of the hype and the fandom of that Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, and Chicago Bulls era. Like, just even to see how massive they were, and they took these overseas tours, and they were treated like rock stars, even in places like France.
But they were they were rock stars.
Not exactly.
I'm not a sports fan, and what I'm worried about is because I really don't give a shit about basketball, cricket, rugby, soccer, tennis. I know this is all hideous, and people who love sport are going to be horrified, and they may never come back and listen to us again. But I'm over pretending that I give a shit about sport. I was pretty awful at sport at school. If I'd been better at it, I might have developed an appreciation for sport. I don't like team sports because I'm a shitty team player. And I'm jealous. I'm a fractured person. I'm deeply jealous of people who have sports abilities. Therefore, I avoid watching how good they are. I know that's very petty and small-minded of me. And I've come to terms with it. I look in the mirror now and I go, you're never going to be a champion anything on a field. So forget about it. Maybe it's a little bit of bitterness, the same thing I was talking about with communists earlier. But this is my worry if I watch this Michael Jordan thing, is that it's going to be about the sport to me and I might not like it. And that worries me because it sounds like a good show.
So I haven't seen it, but I do know the story. So the great thing about this was the reason they call it The Last Dance. It was the last time that this guy called Jerry Krause, who was in American sport, they call it the general manager. So he's above the coach, but below the owner.
Yeah.
He basically told the greatest coach of all time, Phil Jackson, that even if they won the title, it was his last season. And it's all about that. It's all about the tensions of breaking up a dynasty. That's actually what it's about. So, but I haven't seen it. So,
all right. Well, I've been told on good recommendation. Now, Sia, you sound like you're not 100% sure.
Well, yeah, I think it would mean more to me if I was also into the sport. You know, in the times when they were talking about the technicalities and winning the NBA final and this point, and, you know, when they'd explain how Michael Jordan plays and his footwork, I sort of dozed off in those parts. But the overall story, I really find fascinating.
Okay.
But, you know, thinking about how they, Michael Jordan speaks about how there was one time he walked into a hotel room and he found most of his teammates in there. And he says he's never seen anything like that. There were people in one corner doing lines of cocaine.
Oh, wow.
Then there were people in one corner who were just solely doing weed. And there were people in one corner with girls or, you know, and they were just
I like this. This sounds good to me.
And he had just started at that point, so he was still a rookie. And just some of the stories, even just making me think back to Dennis Rodman was crazy before crazy was cool.
Dennis Rodman is insane. Certifiably insane. I sat opposite him. I sat opposite him in a green room before going on a live radio show in New York in 2000. Uh-huh. Yeah, 2000. This guy, and in 2000, he was probably, I mean, at that stage, wasn't he with Carmen Electra? And he was still playing.
She was a huge tension in the Bulls dynasty, by the way.
Yeah. Dennis Rodman had piercings and this bizarre face makeup on, and he was wearing these weird clothes. And I got to tell you, it was pretty scary sitting opposite. And, you know, you make small talk because it was just the two of us in this room together.
What do you say?
Well, I can't remember because I was focused on the interview I was there for afterwards, and I was on after Dennis Rodman. So we were probably only in the room for like maybe a few minutes. I have no idea what I said to him, but I know we had some small talk. Maybe he asked about South Africa, but it was really about him, you know, so I can't tell you we had any bizarre meaningful interaction, but what a weird guy. Just so bizarre. Now, he's the guy who's like best friends with Kim Jong-un, and he's just such a strange cat, that dude.
No, like he dated Madonna once.
Yes.
And he speaks about how Madonna was supposedly so in love with him that she once offered him money just to father one of her children.
And Madonna is also one of those people. She falls in love with the dick and then the person. There's plenty. There's ample proof of this. The possible exception being Guy Ritchie, but we know she has constant. Isn't her son Rocco like the son of a dancer that she had on her
show? At least what's her name? The eldest two are Guy. The first one is the dancer's kid. Yeah, yes.
So the first kid was the son of a dancer.
And then Rocco is Guy Ritchie's son.
And the dancer only got her attention because he had a huge penis. Madonna is one of those, she is into very big penises. You can just tell by the way she looks.
What a romantic story.
Can't you see it in her eyes? I mean, am I the only one who sees this?
That glint in her eyes?
Come on.
Hey, Mom, how did you and Dad meet?
I saw his penis. I wanted it. That's what she would have said to him. And she's so weird. She's also, she and Dennis Rodman should have stayed together. They deserve each other. Anyway, so, all right, that's something I've got to put on the agenda, because otherwise I'm going to feel like I'm missing out. There's a bit of fun.
Yeah, but I just didn't know it was that long. I don't know if you'll be keen for that. It's like 40-odd minutes each.
See, I have read long books occasionally.
Ish, okay.
All right, here's something interesting. Rob Nicolai, who often writes to us, we brought him up on the show yesterday, remember? Uh-huh. He sent another email to me from this woman. Her name is Kendall, and she is on hotmail.com, which...
Now, Kendall is this...
Yeah, she's supposed...
Woman overseas, right?
Yeah, she's not from here, and she's looking for someone to be her boyfriend. You know, that kind of email. So Rob sends this, he forwards me the email, and there's two pictures of this Kendall. One of them, she's got her titties out, and the other one, she's wearing a bra and panties. And then she says, "Hey, sweetheart," two words. "If you lick me, I'll suck it, which I'm pretty good at. I'm also alone at home all day today and have no plans. Dot, question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. If still interested about me, please come here." And then there's a link that you click through. "You can sign up for free. No credit card required to free sign up. Thank you, question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark."
So it's a bot or like a scam thing. Yeah, very good.
Well, Rob is not that dumb because he says, "I don't think," in inverted commas, "she thinks social distancing is not important as she's obviously practiced a lot of sucking it to be good enough to email strangers about it."
You know what? Good on hackers because they are astute business people. They recognize opportunities even in harsh times. And I can guarantee that there are more people out of desperation, out of loneliness now during lockdown that are falling prey to them.
Oh, for sure. And we know that people, even in good times, are desperate to fall in love. We spoke about this on the show not so long ago. So I'm proud of Rob for not falling for it. He's clearly aware of the fact that this is a fake person. It's probably either, as Bulelo says, a bot, or it's some really revolting man who's sitting in a house in Slovenia or something, and he's emailing, these gets your credit card details and like clears out your bank account.
Once again, what a romantic story to think of this big, bulky, hairy, yeah, probably sweaty, regardless of the weather man.
Yeah, called Gustav.
Yeah. Hey, that's my barber. Be nice. No, I'm joking. That's a bad stereotype.
All right. So much to talk about this morning. What was that website that Leanne said that all these girls are going on now to charge money and you can subscribe?
Yeah.
OnlyFans.
That's it. Well,
Garrett, don't tell me the rand has hit so low that you're imagining that.
No, Sia, you mean for me to make money off of it or for me yes, to go on there and pay? I'm not going to pay anyone to see them naked.
I mean, apparently you can block out your country. Like, if you don't want South Africans to see, you can just block out South Africa.
That is cool. Okay. Wow, Pinky. Okay. See, this is why Pinky studied law, to discover loopholes. She's just shown us her.
Yes.
Okay. So if I did become...
I didn't know that.
Yes. Okay. I see this now. So if I am a South African girl who's done quite well, let's say I'm, you know, a D or C grade celebrity, and up to now things have been all right because I was booked to like go to parties and things, but now I've hit the skids, events have been cancelled, I can go on OnlyFans and I can block out South Africa, but I can show myself off to the rest of the world.
Exactly.
Genius.
Oh, genius.
Of course. Oh, okay. You could turn into a huge star somewhere, and then no one in your own country will know.
Yep.
It redefines what the term "big in Japan" means.
Yes, that's so clever, because I think that's what stops a lot of people from going into porn, is they wouldn't want their own friends and family to know.
Good point.
I need to log on right this moment. I need to save the username "party in my pants." this is my time.
All right. Well, if anybody ends up seeing, because we got listeners all over the world, so we are not exempt from being caught. So, Sia, if you do pitch up on any international country's list of OnlyFans stars, our audience will tell us. Don't you worry.
At "party in my pants," find that.
All right, there's stuff here that... So, Pinky, you've got quite a lot in your chest this morning. You put up a WhatsApp status asking people to recommend things for you to watch.
Yeah.
And we were just talking about The Last Dance. So, did you get any good suggestions?
No, I didn't. So, I specifically asked for comedy, you know? Because I can't really stomach watching anything that's going to make me cry, sad, or, you know? So, I was looking for something that's going to make me laugh. And literally everyone just recommended the opposite.
Oh, I don't like that. I don't want to see, goodness. And I also don't like horrors. Like, don't give me horrors and thrillers. I don't want to see that stuff. I'm on my own in this house. I'm having trouble enough sleeping, worrying about like what we're going to do with the business.
Pennywise.
Jesus. Then people are sending me like, "Oh, you got to watch this. It's really scary."
And I mean, I was quite specific. I said comedy, and literally everybody just recommended the opposite.
Well, it's like people don't listen. Rather, you know, they're trying to be helpful, but they don't. They don't read the basic contract, which is, I would like recommendations of comedy.
But and I should have probably added right at the end that if you recommend the opposite, then fuck you. Maybe that would have worked.
Well, that's
didn't have to get to that point, Pinky.
It's a bit passive aggressive. Oh, man. All right, just one quick serious question, and then I've got to get to one or two messages. So a serious question, which heater is the best kind of heater to have? Is it that one with the bars that actually go red hot? Is it the oil heater with the fins? You know the one I'm talking about? Is it the one that blows out the hot air? Which one works the best to warm a room?
No, you left one out.
Which one?
Human.
You mean a person in the bed with you?
Yeah.
Ow.
That's the best one.
Oh, it's got it going on.
No, man. I'm talking about warming a room, and you can't just put a person in a room. This is not 1300 and the slave trade's at its height. What's wrong with you? Ancient Rome. Bring in three slaves to warm the room. What's wrong with you?
You sound so disappointed you can't do that, Mbulelo.
He is, because he's got a massive superiority complex. We know this already. Okay, so come on, which one is it? It's an easy question. I'm not looking for a whole explanation.
A fire is always the best, if you can. High quality wood and a fire.
If you don't have a fireplace.
Gas heater then.
Gas. Is gas the best one?
Yeah, gas is king. Always.
I'm actually using a gas heater right now.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
But you got to get quality, because otherwise you get the gas smell in the room. You have to get the best quality.
All right. So it's you. Again, with Mbulelo, it's a question of like, don't drink shit coffee. Pinky, here's a great suggestion for a comedy series, which I think you'll love because everyone who's watched it thinks it's hilarious.
Uh-huh.
Tracy Lee says you must watch Schitt's Creek. That's S-C-H-I-T-T-S, Schitt's Creek. It is absolutely brilliant. I've watched maybe the first three seasons, but I watched them a few months ago. I think I spoke about it on the show. What's so funny about this is it's family that used to have money, and then they hit the skids, and they have to move to this shitty place called Schitt's Creek. But you've got to watch it because the characters, especially the mother Moira, they are fantastic. Sia, you've seen the show?
I've seen just clips of it on YouTube.
Guys, it honestly that'll make you laugh because a lot of people are going to be in Schitt's Creek, right? Thanks to COVID and the lockdown and government's decisions and all the rest. A lot of us are going to find ourselves up Schitt's Creek. So you've got to watch this show because it's funny to see how these people go from living in this mansion and having this high-flying life where they're, you know, they're wearing, like the girls are just wearing these ridiculously expensive outfits and the mom has all this jewelry and she's a philanthropist and she does all this stuff that high society women do. And the dad is, you know, he's got this great big job and lots of money. And then the IRS come in and they just basically, they take away everything they have. And they are living in this motel and they've got nothing. And they have to rely on the goodwill of the other people in Schitt's Creek. And maybe that's for a lot of people what's going to happen in the next few months. So this show will make you laugh about it and you won't have anxiety because you'll think, oh, well, I'm just a character in Schitt's Creek.
She has a weird sense of humor. I think she'll enjoy it.
Yeah,
and I'll check it out this weekend.
It's really good. That's an excellent suggestion from Tracy Lee. If times are tough, you should consider creating a Patreon for the show. I would definitely contribute monthly. You know, the one thing I've always been resistant to do, and thank you for that. That's very sweet of you, Juliana. I actually got a bunch of emails from people, too, who said, you know, they pay for Netflix, so they'd be more than willing to pay for the show, which I appreciate. But I'm reticent to do that. You know, this is a business, and I'm not running for president where I need to ask you to contribute to my Patreon. And I know lots of smaller podcasters do that, but I want to make this show free to an audience that's growing hugely. This audience represents a massive opportunity to advertisers. And if they miss out on that, either they don't get it, and I need to work harder to persuade them to, which I'm happy to do, or I you know, it's my fault for not selling it hard enough. And there's a way to do that, because I know that we can look at all the great products that we brought to you as part of our package. I mean, we've got Sean from Revix on just now. These guys are doing incredibly cool, clever things with money. And I would rather offer you the ability to hear something from Sean, and he pays for that time, and everybody wins, because he gets access then to this extraordinary audience that we've built up over 6 years. So I don't want to ask you to contribute directly, but you know, it may become, there may be something along the way where we let you, you know, subscribe to a paid for service as well as having the free service, which I want to continue. There may be something in that, because we can offer you all kinds of behind the scenes stuff and give you video and all of that. But it's on the way. And in some ways it appeals to me, because we don't have to rely on advertising money, which, you know, a lot of big corporations are just, they don't get it. They don't understand that they have to build a relationship with the people who listen to us. Otherwise it's not going to matter what their products are. And part of me is attracted to the idea, but I'm just not at the point yet where I'm willing to do that. So here's some answers on the heater. This is very important. Gas heater. So, first of all, Ruth says gas heater is absolutely the one. Natasha says gas heater is the one. Gas heater is by far the best. You can move it around easily on wheels. They're on special right now. That's from Wendy. Thanks, Wendy. It's called a space heater. This is the one that is being suggested here. It also connects to a gas bottle. This is from Wendell. And if it's a larger room, then this is the one. And it's got like fire, but it's got the gas bottle behind it. So it's a big gas heater. And then Pinky Tsenolo says, for animated comedy, you can watch F is for Family.
Okay.
And The Windsors is also hilarious. They make fun of British royalty.
F is for Family. Perfect. Is brilliant. It's Bill Burr.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
All right, Hadmin suggesting The Windsors, and me and my girlfriend's first winter in 2 years. I'm loving it, but gained 5 kilograms already. Cape Town is cold as a whore's heart this morning. That's from James. Sure, James, I'm sorry.
what a description.
Nikki says that she was horrified at Damon yesterday. He was so disgusting yesterday. Friends of mine who listened to the show were still WhatsApping me in the afternoon about how disgusting Damon was. Talking about that thing growing on his back, and then the milk that he drinks straight out of the milk carton in the fridge, and the way he makes his tea. It seems that people were more revolted and disgusted and repulsed by the way that he drinks his tea than they were by that gross thing on his back.
Yeah, because that you can't, it's not really his fault. You know, it's something shit's growing out of his body. It's very unfortunate. But the milk?
Oh, God.
It's so and how you just,
He is disgusting. All right. Listen, we've got to get to some headlines. Thank you for all those messages. You can get hold of us on 079-748-2090. All right. So revenues generated by airlines in the South African market will fall by 55 billion rand in 2020. That is 56% below 2019. That's according to latest estimates by the global airline body, the International Air Transport Association. It is estimated that the fall in revenue puts 252,100 South African jobs at risk. That's a quarter of a million people whose jobs are at risk, as well as 93 billion rand of our gross domestic product, our GDP. That is the part generated by aviation directly, plus air transport dependent tourism. You know, when government talk about resuscitating SAA, I get so angry, because they just don't, they have no ability to interpret the numbers. They just don't understand. They don't see how it's possible for this airline to be a disastrous bottomless pit that they keep pouring public money into. There is no way to make that piece of shit work. Please, can we stop? Can we just stop dancing around an issue which should have passed us by a long time ago? Please, government, Stop being idiots and wasting money that's not yours. You are not allowed to waste our money anymore. There are hungry people. There are people who are absolutely in the depths of poverty. There are people who will not have a job for the rest of their lives in South Africa because you have mismanaged this economy so badly. Do not throw good money after bad by trying to resuscitate this piece of shit airline. It's a pipe dream. And you're not rich enough to be able to chase this pipe dream. You haven't got any more money. Tax revenue is going to be down, probably to the worst levels ever. It doesn't... Please, someone give me an argument to the contrary that actually is cogent. I thought we'd crossed this bridge already. Why are we still hanging around SAA? Makes me so angry.
Yeah.
It's just so selfish and dumb. It's like, we want an airline because we want to fly business class, so we're going to have South African Airways. And this thing is, it's just a great place for them to steal money and keep screwing the poor. Makes me sad. It appears South Africans are wasting no time in placing their booze orders online. Yeah, take that, Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma. People love to drink and they love to smoke. And they're not going to stop just because you ban the stuff.
Oh, yeah, of course.
OneDayOnly.co.za. Have you ever heard of that website?
I'm addicted to it. It's such a problem.
What is it?
Oh, so every day specials. They give you like specials on even wine. Yesterday was Wine Wednesdays. Mm. On gadgets, clothes, literally everything.
Great idea. That's a clever business. All right, we're going to shut down Cliff
Central. I've bought so many things from it.
We're shutting Cliff Central down. Tomorrow will be our last show ever, and I'm going to take anything I can get out of this business, and I'm putting it into One Day Only. That sounds like a good plan. All right, well, One Day Only said that orders had been steadily increasing even before Sunday's announcement that restricted liquor sales would be allowed. When comparing April and May, sales grew by 220%.
Wow.
Oh, it's genius. Matthew Layton, who's a spokesperson for One Day Only, said, "We would encourage people to continue to shop online for their alcohol. For us at One Day Only, it's a fantastic way to support some of the smaller wine farms and in and around the Western Cape. We usually... they've come to a standstill, so it's been a great way to continue the trade." He said since regulations were lifted on e-commerce under level 4, they'd seen sizable growth across all major indicators, sales, and new shoppers. "Although we don't know when we can deliver the alcohol, we have everything ready and set up from our side. We're awaiting that announcement, and as soon as we do, we're excited to get some of our orders to customers." Mm.
Sure.
You know, it's amazing when you take something away from people, it's all they want, hey?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Now, you remember we had a message. This is why I love our audience, and people who listen to the show are just the smartest people. So somebody yesterday said there's a bit of a diesel shortage. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm. And you did say that you can't verify just yet, but you're going to take them for their word.
Right. So I went on that person's recommendation yesterday. I had to go to a meeting in Joburg yesterday, and I actually filled up with diesel because I've got this piece of shit car that drinks diesel. And I'm glad I did, because it turns out, according to Business Insider, there may be diesel shortages, and they may continue until mid-June. It's likely to hit KwaZulu-Natal and the interior of the country the most. The South African Petroleum Industry Association announced yesterday that the country had begun to implement diesel rationing. The association expects the shortage to last until the end of the month. So it's not like I've been using tons of fuel. But if you've got a diesel car, there's just something to be aware of. Not every petrol station will have some. So that's interesting. Because you see, again, we knew it before the news knew it.
Thanks. Just another problem, though, to pile on for people.
Yeah. But what I'm so impressed with is if you listen to this show, you get advanced warning. That's before the news even. We have listeners who have information. Almost 1,700 mental health patients have been wrongly discharged from support services during the pandemic in North Wales. I didn't know there were that many mentally ill people in North Wales, but just goes to show.
Well, that's because you haven't been to Wales, maybe.
Yeah, well, Count me out of going there, because if it's depression, that's not going to be a fun place to be. If it's bipolar, it's going to be dangerous.
You don't want to be depressed in Lalechni.
Brechi. All right. So last week, it emerged that the health board in North Wales advised people to seek new referrals once the pandemic had eased. And obviously, we're making fun of this, but you know how we feel about mental health on this show. We talk about it very seriously all the time. It doesn't mean we don't have a sense of humor. Before I get some email from somebody going, "Oh, my daughter's depressed and you were making fun of it on your show." Fuck off. Have a sense of humor. Even if it is a serious condition. And we take mental health more seriously than any show here. Number of times we've handled this. But people are just humorless at the moment. Have you noticed that? People are fighting online about everything.
But I'm not surprised.
If you say you like the color blue, someone is going to attack you on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Attack. Because they're like, "No, blue is terrible. Blue represents this and this and this, and that's the opposite of what I like. I like red. You're a son of a bitch." And you're like, what? Humorlessness, I'm telling you, it's creeping in. Because people are feeling the stress, you know, the tension of the times. And as a result, they take it out on whoever. They're unable to take it out on the real culprits, China, the government, the media, the experts. So they take it out on some girl who put something up on Instagram. It's amazing. People are just vicious. And there is something going on there psychologically, which I'd love to have an expert unpack. But the mentally ill in North Wales, not having a great time, they discharged all these people. And now they have nowhere to go. So this is not great news for Wales. And then in other news, just one last story before we get to Sean Saunders. This is Trump. He's always in the news, right? He's about to sign an executive order on social media firms. Maybe this is a good thing. I'm not in favor of companies being regulated by government. So it's a very tough tightrope to walk this. But, you know, there are social media platforms that definitely serve up. For example, yesterday I got a message from the Department of Health, but it wasn't from the Department of Health in South Africa. It was from the NIH, the National Health Insurance, NHI.
What do they want?
They were warning me about corona and how it spreads. So I went on to my settings and I disabled and blocked all messages from the National Health Insurance because I don't want to hear from that communist plot to wipe out private medical aid. I think it's revolting. The fact that they think that they can market themselves to me and they've probably paid Facebook money to do that is sickening. And I'm not going to be sold bullshit like that. So I would like to be the one to choose. And in some ways, I agree with the idea that certain voices are stifled on social media. You know, Twitter has added a fact check link to tweets for the first time. And that means they're not just fact-checking facts. They're also fact-checking opinions, which is wrong.
So do you think we've come too far, or can we stymie kind of the march to technocracy?
Look, the larger part of me still says all speech should be free, even the stuff that's really unpleasant and even the stuff that we don't want to hear. That's upsetting to us, right? That's the large part of me. That's like 70 to 80% of my opinion on this, is that we should not try to stem free speech in any way, that nothing should be banned. And even the most ludicrous made-up bullshit, the biggest conspiracy theory in the world, should be allowed. And then there's a little part of me that's like, well, you know, but people are dumb. And this stuff could cause some real harm. But I promise you that's in the minority. And I still think, even though people are dumb, they should be allowed to make mistakes. And you should be allowed to be stupid on social media, because it lets the rest of us know what we're dealing with. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, President Trump has said that Twitter and other social media are biased. He didn't offer any evidence. He said he's going to continue criticizing social media platforms. And he uses Twitter all the time. So I don't know what we would do, because we almost get an insider's view right into the middle of Donald Trump's brain, thanks to Twitter. So I wouldn't want to shut it down just because of that. But some people say, well, if we did shut it down, maybe he would be a better president because he wouldn't be streaming his consciousness out on this platform. At least you know what you're dealing with. I mean, there may be some horrible things he says and some stupid things he says. Yesterday he was going off at the Atlantic. But it's entertaining at very least. So it's up to you to take it seriously or not. And I'd prefer that. Let's go to Sean Saunders. Let's talk about something sensible for this morning because, you know, we've been talking to Revix. And I mentioned earlier how, you know, one of the things I'm so proud of over our 6 years is that we've introduced you to products and ideas that are really revolutionary. And you know that the world around us is changing faster than we could possibly imagine. And your investments really should too. If you haven't thought about that, you should start today. And diversification is what we're talking about. Now, Revix is an intelligent investment platform. It allows anyone anywhere to build a diversified portfolio or a bundle of assets in just a few clicks. Investing really should be easy. And all you have to do with Revix is sign up. You choose an asset. You watch your portfolio grow. Sean is on the line. He's going to tell us a little bit more. And we're going to talk about investment plans and the gold promotion that you told us about the other day, Sean. How are you doing, man?
Morning, Jeff. Yeah, good, thanks. Yourself?
Yeah. No complaints whatsoever. It's just chilly. Is it still raining in Cape Town, or is it a little bit more pleasant?
Winter's kicked in. It is cold, it is wet, and it's kind of cozy. It's nice.
You know, yeah, you say that, but I don't think there's anyone in the world who would have a problem with Cape Town in summer. But man, are your winters terrible.
Yeah. You can't have it all, right?
Well, you can move. If you are a wealthy investor and you have invested properly, you can have a house in warmer climes and you can spend your whole life in summer. You never need to live through winter. That would be nice.
Yeah, and then COVID hits, right? And then you're stuck in Cape Town.
All right, if you weren't in Cape Town now and COVID wasn't around, would you be traveling to London and Singapore and places like that now?
I actually think, yes, I'd be in Singapore, to be honest.
Yeah.
I just think they've got everything with the COVID crisis under control, probably better than any other nation. I love the city. I mean, it's vibrant. It's, you know, super tech orientated, which just, you know, aligns with me. I think that's where I'd be. Where would you be?
Yeah, I spoke to someone in Singapore yesterday. I had a conference with a big advertising group in Singapore, and they looked like they're having a great time. The one guy had a view out of his window of all those skyscrapers, and you know, they've got those buildings with like plants growing up them. It's a really first world place. I love it.
Yeah, your mind can't get, it gets blown when you leave South Africa and then you arrive in these cities like Dubai or, you know, Singapore, Hong Kong, etc., that have, you know, skyscrapers, as you mentioned, gardens growing up the side of these skyscrapers. It's just this walled, but, I don't know, adventure that you go through, right?
Let's be fair, though. I mean, during a situation like this COVID thing, which has really just shut down everything, wouldn't you rather be close to family and friends and in a familiar place? You know, I think it's hard enough if you're away from, let's say there's a different language being spoken. I don't think that's a pleasant way to find yourself during COVID. Anyway, Sean, that we have important and much more relevant things to talk about this morning. We've spoken about markets, but let's learn about Revix because this business is just a few months old, really. And I want to know what makes you guys different to the other investment platforms. This is your chance to boast a little bit.
So firstly, the intro that you had where you were talking about how all free speech should in fact be free, right? You shouldn't be restricted in what you say. And funny enough, we kind of have the same view just with money. I mean, all money should be free.
Right.
And what we mean by that really is if money is in your bank account, I know it feels like it's your money, but really that money is kind of the government's money. And I mean, this is more of my personal view than Revix's view, but I mean, in today's day and age, I mean, you can say what you believe now on podcast. I think that's the beauty of free speech, right?
Absolutely.
So if you get into an altercation with SARS or some tax body or regulatory body, they can go into your bank account and they can take the money away from you. Now, regardless of that being legal or ethical, that isn't your money then. That is somebody else's money that they've lent you that they can then take back. In South Africa, the government is able to do what they've done to the economy and, you know, prevent you then from moving over 1 million rand offshore. And if you move more than R1 million offshore through the foreign exchange limits, they then fine you. That doesn't sound very much like your money. And that sounds, from my perspective at least, that the government's got essentially control, and this is a socialist state and you can't really do too much.
Yeah.
So we believe that you should have free money. You should have money that is your own. And that's really aligned with the key tenets of what crypto is all about. So crypto stands for non-sovereign digital currencies. And a lot of people actually get caught up on the currency side of things, because Bitcoin is the granddaddy in the crypto space, and it's been around forever, and it is meant to be some sort of digital currency. However, there's been a lot of cryptocurrencies that have come after Bitcoin, which aren't necessarily currencies like we know them today. They are ways of moving value around the world, but they aren't money. And I'll get into that in a moment. But let me go into then, I suppose, what we're all about and what Revix does. So what makes us different is that we don't offer just individual cryptocurrencies. So yes, you can come to Revix and you can buy Bitcoin. You can also buy Pax Gold, which is one of the crypto assets that we have. So that's gold that has been tokenized. And we'll get into that in a little bit. And then we've got three crypto bundles. And the crypto bundles that we have are the top 10 crypto bundle, which, as the name implies, gives you exposure to the top 10 cryptocurrencies, all equally weighted. So this means that you don't have to really guess which cryptocurrency to own, because this is such a nascent market that you don't know which of these crypto assets or cryptocurrencies are really going to grow in value. So the top 10 is kind of like buying the JSE top 40 index. You get exposure to a diversified group of cryptocurrencies, and when one increases in value, you know, you're benefiting from that, as well as for others within that top 10. Then we've got two theme-based bundles within the crypto space. And this is where people kind of go, whoa, what are you talking about? So we've got a payment bundle, and the payment bundle, as the name insinuates, is the crypto, or it includes the cryptocurrencies that are payment focused. So they're looking to be digital money. The likes of Bitcoin, the likes of Litecoin, the likes of Bitcoin Cash, these, and you know, Ripple as an example, these are cryptocurrencies that are looking to replace money that we have today. They want to make...
And those, essentially, in the best case scenario, you'd be able to use to purchase things and to sell things.
Exactly. I mean...
And there are increasingly more and more people who are willing to accept cryptocurrencies for payment.
Exactly. I mean, 5 years ago, when you went to, in South Africa as an example, when you went to buy something online, and you saw instant EFT, you were like, what on earth is this? Or, you know, you don't need to pay now, you can pay on delivery or something like that. You're like, what is this? And you're starting to see that with crypto, where all of a sudden the Bitcoin logo has been shown up, you can use it to pay for things. And I think this will gradually happen more and more over time. So if you believe in the payment space and cryptocurrency actually being something in the payment and currency space, then we've created this payment bundle for you. Then the last theme-based bundle that we have is the platform bundle. Now, this is the probably most complicated to understand of the bundles that we have. But really, what the platform bundle contains is smart contract-oriented cryptocurrencies. Now, that is this is quite an interesting space, because it is something that is really nascent, and it is something that could have a lot of upside potential should it really catch on. And what that means really is that there's cryptocurrencies out there like Ethereum Classic, like EOS, like Cardano, like Tron. And what these cryptocurrencies do is they provide sort of the blockchain operating system. So if you think about an operating system like on your phone, you've got an operating system, an iOS or Android operating system, that allows people to build applications on top of that operating system. And that's what these cryptocurrencies are looking at doing. They're kind of providing the motorways or the infrastructure for other applications then to be built on top of this blockchain infrastructure and to be used amongst people. So that is an overview of kind of the products on our platform. And what makes us better really than other platforms out there is the way that we're able to source the cryptocurrencies. So if you go to an exchange in South Africa offshore, you're dealing only on that exchange. So that means that if you're purchasing or selling cryptocurrency, you are exposed to the buyers and sellers on that particular exchange. Now, exchange prices can be higher or lower than other exchanges, but it means that you're beholden to whatever the price is on that particular exchange. With us, we connect you to a variety of different exchanges, and that means that we're able to get you the best prices at the point of when you're buying and selling versus being on a single exchange. So that's a big benefit for us. We don't have any monthly fees. Our fee structure is very straightforward and upfront. It is a 1% buy fee, it's a 1% sell fee, and our bundles have a small rebalancing fee. And that's another benefit, is our bundles get rebalanced on a monthly basis, And what this means is that if one of the cryptocurrencies, so take our top 10 bundle as an example, if one of the cryptocurrencies within the top 10 had to decline in value, we would remove it from the top 10 bundle. And if another cryptocurrency had increased in value and become in the top 10 cryptocurrencies, we would include it in the bundle. And what this means is that you don't need any investment experience. You don't need to be actively involved in the market. And what's really important about what we're going for is that we want to target long-term investors in the crypto space. We don't want to target the traders. The exchanges and the leverage platforms are where you should be trading. And I think that's, in a nutshell, really an overview of Revix and what makes us special.
All right. Do I need to invest a lot of money? I mean, you know, do I have to be very wealthy to get some exposure?
So we have a minimum investment amount of 500. So the answer to your question is no. You can start with 500. You can, you know, test out our platform. If you like what you see, you can deposit a little bit more.
500 measly rand or $500,000? Would it be clear?
500 measly rand.
Okay. All right. Okay. Quickly tell us about the gold promo that you guys are running.
Sure. So we've got quite an interesting promo on the go. So if you sign up to our platform with the promo code GOLD, G-O-L-D, you'll get 1 week of risk-free investing. And if you like that week of risk-free investing, and I'll get into what exactly risk-free investing means in a moment, but if you like it and you decide that you want to share our Revix platform with some friends and family, you can get an additional week. And if you share it again with somebody else, you can get an additional week, and you can get up to 5 weeks of risk-free investing should you invite 5 people to join the Revix platform. Now, how the gold risk-free promo works is that if you sign up using the promo code GOLD, you will get to keep all the profits if your gold investment increases over the gold promo. And if your gold investment declines in value over the period, we'll pay you back the difference. So if you had to invest 1,000 Rand in our gold promo, and over the gold period, or over the period that you are risk-free, it declines by 10%, we would pay you back that 10%. So it's pretty straightforward. I think, you know, a lot of people have got involved in our promos in the past where we've had risk-free promotions. And I think, you know, we're just trying to keep this going. A lot of people are really interested in getting involved, trying something out, and now, then seeing the long-term value.
I know this irritates people like you who have the long-term view, but is it a good time to buy gold now? Is it a good time to buy crypto now? You know, and don't give me the Revix point of view here. Say you're Sean Saunders, an individual investor. I know every time that you get into the market and you're prepared to stick it out is a good time. But just based on what's going on in the world, what's going on in those two markets?
There is literally no better time to buy gold, in my opinion. Just yesterday, you saw the Central Bank of Japan have the biggest stimulus package announced worldwide. Stimulus in terms of government aid packages and bond buying schemes and all the rest is totaling $6 trillion by the end of the year. That so you've is, seen
that
so
is,
much.
That is newly printed money entering the market and fiddling with the value of your currency.
Totally. It's newly printed money. It's increased debt. It's making the financial system less stable than what it was before. And you've got a limited amount of gold, a limited amount of Bitcoin, and a limited amount of other cryptocurrencies, certainly within our top 10 bundle, that are available in the world. And that makes these scarce assets. So when you have more cash in circulation, and it's a pretty basic calculation, you've got more cash in circulation, you've got a set number of these assets in existence. Technically, the set number of assets in existence have to increase in value in accordance to all the more money in existence. Yeah. So in my opinion, there is no better time to own gold. Bitcoin is going to always be a volatile investment. If you invest in Bitcoin or any other cryptocurrency, you need to be expecting that there's going to be 10% moves on a weekly basis. And the volatility that you're assuming, or the risk that you're assuming, is then it comes with the ability that you see a 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times return over the next 5 or 10 years should the market increase in value. There is a real probability that Bitcoin and the rest of the cryptocurrency market can decline 50%. But with that risk comes the huge opportunity, really, in getting, you know, outsized returns. So for me, there's no better time to be investing in gold or crypto than right now.
All right. This is all very handy information. It's a lot for us to digest. Thank you very much, Sean. We will talk to you again in a short while, I'm sure. But this is really good stuff. And as you heard from Sean, if he weren't running this business, he'd still be investing in this market because it's as good a time as any, and probably much better if you just consider what's going on around us. So in a market that you haven't seen before, you need to diversify. Revix can be found on social media, but you can just go to revix.com. That's R-E-V-I-X.com. And you can find out how to invest smartly, not only in crypto, but also in gold now. You just sign up for free, verify your ID, add funds, and select the bundle of your choice. Thank you, Sean.
Great stuff. Thanks, Gareth. Have a good day.
Good, 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 good. There's Sean Saunders. Nice. So we've talked about your money. Now we need to talk about the world that you inhabit. We need to talk about politics. We need to talk about society. We need to talk about the economic factors of how things are going to go from here on in. And there's no better place to do that than The Burning Platform, which is still our number one podcast on The Gareth Cliff Show. Every single Thursday, we check in with people who we think are going to add an interesting angle to things. And this morning is no different. The Burning Platform this morning will feature Elisha Kunen, who is a very interesting chap. We're going to speak to Elisha, a human rights lawyer, working primarily in mining, customary law, and land affairs. And he contributes to the Just Us Under a Tree podcast, which discusses matters around the Constitutional Court of South Africa. He defines himself as a leftist and spends his free time being devastated by Arsenal results and arguing about Bernie Sanders. So we thought a little bit of a different point of view this morning with Elisha, and we'll speak to him and to Canthan Pillay next in The Burning Platform on cliffcentral.com. Hope your day is off to an awesome start. If it isn't yet, you've obviously been listening to something else. This is what we do. Try to make you feel good.
Cliffcentral.com.